Just thinking about that Mother's Day affidavit. I wonder if that's along with the vaccine affidavit. Oh, mercy me. Well, y'all know that I'm a Norske. I'm a Norwegian in background, and we Norwegians like to have a little bit of fun, and every now and then I share a Norske joke with you, and I thought I'd just do a little bit of that here tonight, if that's okay. Yesterday was the end of May. Not yesterday, Monday was the end of May. That's the major celebration in Norway. That's the celebration of when they became a free nation for the first time. You stop and think, they were sending out Vikings from there way back in the 700 and 800s, and they just became a nation, collected as a nation in 1814, 204 years ago or 7 years ago, something like that. So they celebrated every year with this thing called Sienda May. That's the 17th of May. And so that kind of puts me in the spirit for this. And my old cousin Ole, you know, he's a friendly feller, and he has a next door neighbor who has a son. And this son's name is, let me see, what is it there? Oh, yes, Olaf. Olaf, yes. And Olaf came home from school one day, don't you know? And he came and he said, Dad, he said, how come my feet are bigger than everybody else in the third grade? His dad looked at him and said, probably because you're 19 years old. You know, yeah, us Norskies, we like to pick on ourselves. Ole and Lena, now remember, these are my cousins, Ole and Lena, yeah. She's a my cousin and he's a my cousin, and so they kept the same name. They decided to just get married together, you know, and keep it real easy. Well, they went out to eat, and they went to this nice restaurant, and the waiter comes up and he says, may I take your order now? And so Lena says, yeah, sure, you betcha. She says, I'd like to have a nice strip steak. And he said, oh, good, good, okay. And the vegetable, oh, he'll have the same thing as I do. Yeah, so anyway, be Norskies, be have a good time. Turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll get serious here. While you're turning there, I'm going to have a word of prayer and see if I can settle down a little. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to share the word of God tonight with these dear folks. And I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, Lord. Give me exactly the words you would have me to say and not that which I would say. And Father, I pray that our hearts and minds will be open, that we'll be able to gain something that'll help us tonight and be a blessing to us and a challenge at the same time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke 2:8 says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I know that's not in 1 Samuel. Don't get too upset with me just yet. But there were shepherds out in the field. That's the Christmas story, we call it, right? And what were they doing? They were tending their flock. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about shepherds, if that's okay with you all. I think it will be. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Amen. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, you know who that is, that's Goliath. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Now, we're going to talk about shepherds just a little bit here tonight and what it means to be a shepherd. In the Bible time, they had a lot of shepherds. I mean, this was one of their major ways of providing for their families was with sheep. Right. And so there would be a shepherd. And in David's case, he was a youth, and oftentimes the youngest boy would be the one who'd be out there in the fields taking care of the sheep. And that's what he was doing. And that was preparing him for other things to come later on. You understand that. But stop and think just a little bit. The shepherd is responsible. Boy, Americans don't like that word today. The shepherd was responsible for making sure of their food, for making sure of their protection, and for making sure that his master, who sent him out there to be a shepherd, is going to make a profit from them. He had to take care of them, you see. And so we're going to talk a little bit about shepherds. And David kind of was an example of it. Back when I was a young fella, that was just a couple of years ago, I was raised on a dairy farm up in Wisconsin. And we had, of course, dairy cows. We had Holsteins, and we had some horses to do the work in the fields. This was back in the early 1940s, you understand. And so we had a team of horses, and we had some pigs, and we had some chickens. Yeah, we had all kinds of livestock, but the thing we had that we had the most trouble with was the sheep. We had sheep. I'll never forget. And remember, I'm just a wee little tyke at this time. I wasn't very big. We moved off the farm when I was 6 years old. Okay, so it was back then. But I have good, vivid memories of this. One day, I went out with my father when they were shearing the sheep. He hired some fellas that did this professionally, and he was out there checking up on them there. And I watched them while they were shearing the sheep throughout the year, just like a hair growth. Sheep grow wool, and if you don't trim the wool off the sheep, it gets to be bigger and bigger. I saw a picture one time, I think it was probably on Facebook, probably everything's on Facebook today, and there was a sheep that they found out in the wilderness that had been wandering alone for years and years and years, and he had about this thick a mat of wool on him, hadn't been sheared for all those years. But these sheep, when it came shearing time, they didn't like that. These guys had these little clippers. They were out in the field. They didn't have the modern things. They didn't have any electric buzzers, but they had these things that they squeezed, and the teeth would go back and forth, and they'd shear them that way. And, oh, they didn't like it. And every now and then they'd get nicked, and, boy, they'd fight, and they'd just give them all kinds of trouble. But the thing is that sheep needed to be taken care of more than any of the other animals on the farm. Right. Some people I've heard say they were dumb. Sheep are dumb. I don't like to use that term because God is the one who refers us to being sheep. Okay, so I won't say that sheep are dumb. I just won't say that. I'll say that they were troublesome. But David was an example of the shepherds of that day. Now, let's go on down a little bit further. Well, maybe it's going up. He's just a little human example. Do you know who else was a shepherd? God the Father was a shepherd. Turn with me to Psalm 23. Y'all are familiar with this. We probably don't even need to look at it, but we're going to anyway. In Psalm 23, the Bible's very plain. This is talking about God the Father.
Yes, sir.
And it says right here in my Bible, and if you're right with the Lord, it's in your Bible that way too.
Amen. Yes, sir.
The Lord is my shepherd. God is the shepherd. I looked up that word, and it was kind of interesting. In the Hebrew, it's ruah. I don't very often look up these words because I'm no Hebrew or Greek scholar, and I don't like those who pretend to be, but I just for fun looked it up to see what it was, and it means to tend the flock or to pasture it. To pasture it. That's a verb. If you're gonna shepherd it, you're going to pasture it. You're going to tend it and take care of it. The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
He tends to what my life is.
That's right.
He does what David was doing with his sheep,
right,
except he does it for us. As we go down through here, we see a list of things, and I want to challenge you a little bit about this. We all know the 23rd Psalm, and probably everybody here could quote almost every word in it, letter perfect, but challenge you to take a piece of paper sometime and write out each one of these things on a separate line and let them be accentuated to you so you see what they are. The Lord is my shepherd. Next thing it says, I shall not want. I'll have no wants. He takes care of my wants, my needs. Isn't that the way a shepherd does? He takes care of his sheep, don't you see? And he maketh me lie down in green pastures. It says here, he leadeth me beside the still waters. We did a study on this when I was in Bible school. It was really interesting, comparing us to the sheep and explaining all these things from a shepherd's angle. But do that. go down through that and just see all the different things that God, the Father, does for us because we are the sheep of his pasture.
Amen.
Wow. Let's take it a little step further here. How about Jesus, God the Son? This is interesting. In Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad, listen, as sheep having no shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd get like that one that I mentioned that got lost out there in the wilderness, and he ended up being humongous because there was nobody there to take care of him and to trim off all that extra wool, don't you see? And that's what Jesus is saying here. In Hebrews 13:20, it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. So God the Father is our shepherd. God the Son is our shepherd. Turn with me to John chapter 10, and this is a familiar passage, but sometimes, again, we kind of take all of this for granted, and we hear the preacher talk about it, and we might even read it, and I hope you do read your Bibles, and we might read down through here, but we don't stop to think about it in the terms of the fact that Jesus is my shepherd, not just yours.
That's right.
He's my shepherd.
Amen.
He takes care of me. He picks me up when I fall down. He makes sure that I feed right, and he protects me and all this. In John chapter 10, verse 11, excuse me, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep.
Right.
I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Who is the kind who doesn't care, who is just looking for what he can get?
That's right.
We could look at Baal back in the Old Testament, couldn't we? Mm-hmm. And Baal is a good example of all the false religions that we have around us. Do you know what they are? They're looking for what they can get rather than what they can give. And it's important for us to understand this, that God the Son, Jesus Christ, is the one who really cares. He says in verse 27 there, John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so here again we have God the Father and God the Son. And Jesus says that when you accept Christ as your Savior, when you put your faith and trust in the shed blood of the cross of Jesus Christ, that you are in the hand of God the Son. And not only that, but you're in the hand of God the Father. And no man can pluck you out.
Amen.
Do you know who no man includes? Me. I can't take myself out. I've had people that I've dealt with over the years, they say, oh, I gave up on God and I quit. I gave up. I quit my salvation. I was saved, but I junked it. I just don't believe in that anymore. I'm sorry. If you're truly saved, you can't junk it. You know why? Because you've been born again. You were of your father, the devil, John 8:44, and you got born again because Jesus said that's the only way that you can get to heaven. And when you're born again, you're born into God's family. You know what? I am Oftadal because my daddy was Oftadal. And my granddaddy was Oftadal. And my great-granddaddy was Oftadal. Hear me now. Once you're born into a family, you can't get unborn. We're talking about eternal security. We're talking about what our shepherd, Jesus Christ, does for us. I found an interesting thing. Oh, I've known it, but I just kind of picked up on it. Maybe it's a little bit off the topic a little bit here this morning, but or this evening. I'd like to just share that. Look at verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And that reminds me of 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God.
Amen.
Unsaved Jews, unsaved Gentiles, saved Jews and Gentiles who are the church of God.
Amen.
And Jesus is giving here in this passage a little bit of a prophecy concerning the future. And we remember in Acts chapter 9, when the Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he got blinded by this vision that came along, and God appeared, or Jesus appeared, to Ananias in the city, and he said, Paul's going to come, Saul, I should say, at that time. Saul is going to come, and I want you to take him in and take care of him and help him. And he said, whoa, Lord, he's mean, he's killing, he's torturing Christians, he's out after us. And the Lord said in Acts 9:15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And so Saul became Paul, who became the apostle to the Gentiles. I don't think there are any Jews here in this room. We're all Gentiles. We're included in this John chapter 10.
Yes, sir.
Under the shepherd of Jesus Christ. He's shepherding us as well as the Jews. I love the Jews, and I hope you've been praying for them during this crisis that's going on over there. I hope that you bathe them in prayer, not only now during this crisis, but always remember the Jews. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen.
Amen.
But hear me carefully. Unsaved Jews are different than saved Jews.
Amen.
Just like unsaved Gentiles are different than saved Gentiles. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, promised us that we would be in the same category that he's talking about here, that he would be our shepherd. Okay, let's look a little bit further here as far as shepherds go. Oh, who else do you think of is our shepherd? Who can tell me? The pastor. Pastor. The pastor. Yes. The pastor. I looked up a word again. This is twice in one message. I looked up the word. The Greek word is poimen. And it means literally shepherd. Pastor means shepherd. You could call him Shepherd Mosley.
That's true.
And you'd be legitimate.
Right.
Ah, what does a shepherd do? Oh, this is important for us now.
Amen.
What does the shepherd do? What does the pastor do?
Yes.
He provides food for the flock.
Amen.
That's why we come to church.
Yes, sir.
That's why we come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because we get hungry.
Right.
Folks who only come Sunday morning, they only eat once a week. I want to eat more than that.
Amen.
In fact, I listen to preachers every day of the week. Thank you, YouTube. I've got preacher friends all over the country who are on YouTube, and every day I listen to at least one sermon from one of my preacher friends, and I get blessed by it. I get fed by it. Pastors are shepherds, and their job is to feed the flock, to lead us to those green pastures. In John 21:17, Jesus saith unto him, that's Peter, feed my flock. And so the pastor is to feed the people as he preaches and as he teaches. It's sustenance for us. If we quit eating, we get skinny. Some of us could use a little bit of that, but not spiritually. Spiritually, we need to eat lots, and we need to eat regular, and we need to keep it coming on a regular basis. That's why we need to have our daily devotions and get in the Bible every day, because there's a long time between Sunday night and Wednesday night.
Amen.
And we're out there rubbing shoulders with this ungodly world. Don't tell me that it's not ungodly, because 90% of it or better is ungodly.
Right.
And that includes a lot of believers.
Come on.
And so we need to have our preacher, our pastor, who will feed us from the Word of God. Not only that, but he's to protect the flock. The shepherd protects the flock against the bears that come along or the lions that come along. Yes, there are bears and lions that come after you and me. And it's kind of like that, I hate to call him a pastor, down there in Houston we hear about so much. Excuse me. But some of you, I know, watch that stuff on television. And you might even get on some of those preachers or pastors or whatever, ministers, sites on YouTube. Our pastor is our shepherd to protect us from the wolves and from the bears and from the lions. And they're out there. Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he uses religious people more than he uses the devil's crowd. I'm never worried about my people who are truly saved being taken over by the local tavern owner.
Amen.
Or even the drug pusher. That doesn't bother me with my good Christians. But I am concerned about pastors who are wolves in sheep's clothing, who come and say, I can teach you better than your pastor can. Your pastor's confused and he doesn't understand the Bible. I can give you insight. I can teach you the deep things of the Word of God. Those are a danger. The pastor's job, part of it, is to protect us from these wolves that come after us. How does he do that? He does it, number one, by teaching truth. I heard years ago that the way the banks teach their tellers how to recognize a counterfeit dollar bill is they never show them one. All they see is the real thing. And then when something comes across that's different, they recognize it as being a fake. And so it is in the Christian life. The preacher preaches the truth of the Word of God. And if you're listening, if your ears are open, your mind is open, your heart is open, you'll hear the truth of the Word of God. And when you hear someone teaching falsehood, it'll stand out just like that. Folks, listen to me now. Pastor is to feed us, he's to protect us, and he's to provide profit for his master. Yes, we are in a profit-making business. I don't talk about money. I'm talking about profit for the glory of God. I'm talking about folks who will fall on their face before the throne of God and give glory to him. This is profit for the Lord. The Great Commission is seen in Matthew 28. And I think we ought to read it. Turn back there with me. I'm letting y'all be too lazy here tonight. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Great Commission is for you and for me as Christians, as believers. We are to go and teach people about Jesus Christ. We're talking here about soul winning.
Amen.
No, I'm just too shy. I can't do that. Depends on if you love the Lord Jesus and if you love the person you're talking to. I've talked to parents who were too shy to talk to their own children about getting saved. Shame, shame, shame. No, part of the job of the preacher, of the pastor, is to provide profit for the Lord. Go back to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse number 14. The Son of Man goeth as it is... I'm sorry, that's in 26. Get on the right page here, son. In Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. We won't read the whole thing, but we're talking here about investing. Amen. And the comparison is with the people who are following the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us that teaching, that preaching, as an investment, and he expects to get something back out of it. Church is not just so we can have a beautiful building. Church is not just so we can meet with our friends out on the street or in the store or at work or wherever we are and say, we had X number of people in Sunday school last Sunday. How many did you have? That's not what church is about. The investment is that he wants to get something back from it. Down in verse number 26, he tells that, the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest not that I reap where I sowed not, and gather not where I have not strawed. Thou wantest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. My life, since I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, was to have one goal, and that's to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in every way possible. Oh, how I've failed so many thousands of times over all these years. That's one of the problems of being old. Instead of hundreds of times, it becomes thousands of times, okay? Listen to me now. Our job as Christians is not just to be faithful coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's foundational truth.
Amen.
As we listen to the preacher, and as we absorb what he's taught us from the Word of God, we're to go out of here and share that good news with other people. And thereby, we are providing profit for the Master. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, under the persecution of the early church, they that were scattered, can't read, can't see anything, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word.
Amen.
You know how Christianity spread so fast in those early days? It was because of the persecution that came to the church. As they were persecuted, they left. They scattered. They had to. They would have died. They scattered. About the only ones that stayed behind were the disciples. And you saw what happened to them, or you hear the stories of what happened to them. But they scattered, and everywhere they went, because in their heart they had received the teachings of the Word of God.
Amen.
They saw the fruit of the Word of God, and they wanted to share it with other people. And therefore, they were bringing profit to the Lord. Let's take one more step. I think we've got time for one more step. You know who else is a shepherd? You and I are. We're shepherds, yes. Oh, we get shepherded, but there are those that God wants us to shepherd also. Oh, where does it start? Well, it starts with our children.
Amen.
Do you know that you're the shepherd for your child? You're to feed your child? So, yeah, I do that. I feed them and clothe them and give them shelter. You protect your children from false doctrine that they hear in the public schools and such, huh? You're also to provide profit for your master by teaching them from an early age about soul winning. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's important for us as Christians with children, and maybe us older folks with grandchildren, and those like me, older folks still who have great-grandchildren, amen, it's important for us to shepherd those. That's a verb, to shepherd those. How do we do it? Well, we do it, going back to the family, my immediate family, we have family daily devotions right from the time they're born. When they're little bitty babies, they sit in the devotions with us. We don't sit and say, oh, they're too young to understand. Oh, you'd be surprised how much they can understand. You would be amazed. You really would. What do you mean devotions? Well, You get together and you read the Word of God every day. That's called devotions. Maybe you do it in the morning before they go off to school and you go off to work. Maybe you do it at mealtime. Maybe you do it at bedtime. You do it every day.
Amen.
With all of them, from the littlest ones on up. And what do? Well, you read the Word of God, and you teach them as they learn how to read. You teach them and let them practice reading the Word of God. The King James Bible is not hard to pronounce if you've been doing it since you're 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old. Let them read the Bible out loud to you. Let them get used to reading it and reading it out loud. Help them to memorize the Scripture. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You want to raise those children up so they don't end up in reform school, they don't end up on drugs, they don't end up as alcoholics. Listen to me. You feed them right. You feed them right. You start real young, and you feed them, and you pray together with them. And when something goes wrong, Daddy, I skinned my elbow. Oh, come here. Let's cuddle a little bit and let's pray together.
Amen.
2 years old, 3 years old, you pray with your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren.
Amen.
Include them in these things. Those of you who've worked in the Christian school, you know how much those little ones can learn. Just absolutely amazing. They learn easier than better and faster than the older ones do, quite honestly.
Amen.
And so we don't sit back and we say, well, we'll wait until they're teenagers, and then we'll start trying. No. You've already lost them if you wait
Amen.
That long. You start with them young. You have family devotions. You teach them by example of being faithful in church attendance and making sure that they're in church attendance. And excuse me if I can say it. Have them in the pew alongside of you.
Sure.
Right. Have your little ones in the pew alongside of you, listening to your shepherd teach the Bible and preach the Bible.
Amen.
And show them how to hold the songbook.
Amen.
Even before they can read, have them hold the songbook. We're singing now. This is where we're singing, right here. Show them. When they get to a point where they're able to understand and able to read, it's old hat. You start young. You start real early. I'm talking about building profit for the master. That's what the shepherd's job is, part of the job. And so in the service, our kids were little when I was in Bible school. I was at Tennessee Temple in Chattanooga, and Dr. Lee Robertson was my pastor. And at that time, when we first went there, they were averaging about 3,000 in Sunday school. I mean, here's this huge auditorium, and the first time we went, we got there just before church starts. You know, that's how you're supposed to do. Just come in at the last minute just before church starts. Boy, did we learn the lesson quick. If you want to get the seat you need to get there early.
Yes.
We started getting there about 40, 45 minutes before the service. And that first service we were there, we ended up right about in the middle, just about where Brother Todd is sitting there. And the people around us, about 15 or 20, they were in a little group. They sat there all the time. They knew each other. They supported each other. They were a blessing to each other. And they included us in it. And so we're sitting there with all our kids. We never did put our kids in nursery. I'm sorry. If they acted up, if the baby started to cry, Mama would take them out. And then she'd bring the baby back in. If the other ones acted up, Papa would take them out. And then he'd bring him back in. Our son, Derek, he's 4 years old, something like that. He's a budding artist. He is a professional artist today out in Portland, Oregon. But he was an artist. He was always drawing pictures. Just right from the time he could get a hold of a pencil and a piece of paper, he was constantly drawing things. We made him sit up straight and pay attention, because every service, when we got home, we reviewed what was taught, what was preached. And the kids were to tell us, what was the sermon about?
Amen.
There's Derek. He had no idea at all. Finally, Patty got the idea because he loved to draw. She gave him a little notebook and a pencil. He sat there drawing, and immediately he was able to tell everything that was preached in that sermon.
Amen.
He just needed something that he liked doing, and he could still hear. That happens. Not everybody's going to be like that. But I'm just telling you, we need to include them. We need to take them with us when we go out on visitation, when we go out visiting people who are sick, when we go visiting people who are in the nursing home or in the hospital. We need to take the children with us. Old folks, nursing home, love little kids. And little kids learn they can be useful, that they can touch hearts. And when we go to preach in the nursing homes, we take them along. The only place I didn't take my kids was when I preached in the jail. I didn't want them getting into that mess out there. But I took them out on the street when we went out for street preaching. In fact, the very first time when we moved to Chattanooga to go to school there, the first Saturday we moved in, and two or three days later was Saturday, and the first Saturday I was down on the street for street preaching, and I had my five-year-old daughter with me. She had a fistful of tracts, and I had a fistful of tracts, and we went down there and were passing out tracts.
Amen.
We took our kids all the time out on the streets. And I'm not bragging. I'm just giving an example of things that we can do.
Amen.
If we're going to be good shepherds. We need to encourage them to participate in church. I remember when we first came here, that was 26 years ago, that we joined this church. And Brother Mosley, you'll remember this. There were these two little girls that got up here to sing. Amanda and Ashley Autry. They'd get up here and they would sing quite often, quite a few times they sang. What a blessing that was to us. I think we need to get our kids busy. You know who's been lately? Little Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Blanton. She just
Amen.
Ducked down in the pew back there. She sung for us a couple of times.
Amen.
That's the kind of thing we need to do with our kids.
Yeah.
Get them involved. Get them active. What we're talking about is being good shepherds. We need to be good shepherds of our Sunday school kids if we're teachers or junior church or youth groups or whatever else. But we need to be shepherds to the unsaved also as we go out winning souls. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. When you win someone to Christ, stick with them. Be a shepherd. Provide for them. Protect them. Help them to become productive for the Lord. Producing a bit of profit for the Lord Jesus. Luke 2:8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds. I love shepherds. And I hope that you love shepherds too. And I hope that you'll be a shepherd for Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ in this time to fellowship together in the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for every person here and the blessing that they've been to me personally and to my wife and my children as they visited us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this church that stands for the truth of the King James Bible, stands for everything that the Bible says. Thank you for giving us a pastor who's a true shepherd. Help us, each one, to take on that role of shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing have an invitation. Let's have an invitation. Folks, if God touches your heart somehow, go ahead and stand up. Let's sing a song. And if God has touched you in some way, think about your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Think about people that you've led to the Lord. Think about people you've brought to church. Don't forget about them. Don't leave them behind. Be a shepherd to them. Maybe God speaks to your heart during this invitation time.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood washes.
Right. Remember to pray for the folks we mentioned to you.
Yes.
They need some prayer. Pray for them, Lauren. Pray for them. And pray for the work of our church. And listen, I want all of you, if you would you begin to pray right now, this week, that God would give us a few more students in our Christian school this next fall. We'd really like to see an increase. It would be a blessing to the school.
Right.
And so would you begin to pray? Just say, Lord, send the people we need. Hey, I'll tell you, the kids we've got in school are a tremendous group of kids.
Oh, yeah.
They're really a good bunch, all right? They're not like some nice kids. Hey, we have had a few in the past, a little different, but finally got the dog graduated. But I was just kidding about that.
Hey, amen.
Do pray for our school, would you? Would you pray for our school? I'd appreciate it if you do. All right, let's be dismissed tonight in the word of prayer. Those smart to be dismissed.
Hey, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this night, Father. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, Father, and the Spirit of God that will guide us through it. We thank you, Lord, for the message we heard tonight, Lord. Pray, God, that each one of us has been seen where we need to be. God, we pray to you to get us where we should be. Pray, Father, for those that are unable to be here tonight, that you protect them, keep them safe. Minister unto them, Lord. Just watch over us till we come back the next appointed time. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.